three men died and were at the pearly gates. St. Peter said to them that they could get through the gates if they answered a simple question. What is Easter? So the first guy said, oh, that's easy. Easter is that holiday in November, you know, when everybody gets together and eats turkey and gives thanks. Peter sternly replied, no. And he looked at the second guy. The second guy said, you know, no. No, Easter is that holiday in December when we put up a nice tree and people exchange presents and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Peter shook his head in disgust. He looked at the third guy. And the third guy smiled and looked St. Peter in the eyes. And he said, oh, I know what Easter is. Of course I know what Easter is. Easter is that Christian holiday that coincides with the Jewish feast of Passover. Jesus was eating at the Last Supper and was later deceived and turned over to the Romans by one of his disciples. The Romans put a crown of thorns on his head and crucified him upon a tree, and he died. They buried him in a cave which was sealed with a large boulder. And every year the boulder is moved aside so that Jesus can come out. And if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of That's a true story. Abraham was given a promise by God that through his son Isaac, all nations on the earth would find their blessing. And so beyond all reasonable expectation, Abraham and Sarah conceived their only son Isaac when they were well past the age. And so Isaac, of course, was uniquely precious to them. And very beloved. And so since God had done such a wonderful thing, since God had proved to be worthy of his promises, Abraham said with confident readiness, here I am, when God called him one day. Can you imagine how dazed and incredulous Abraham was when he heard what God said? Take your son, your only son, your beloved Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, where you will offer your son as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall point out to you. Why did Abraham obey God? Well, the scriptures say that he feared God. That is, he knew God was real and he lived in God's presence. But Abraham had to obey by faith. After all, God had promised him that through his son Isaac, all nations on earth would find their blessing. What a torturous, drawn-out journey of faith Abraham had in the following days. He had to gather the materials together for the human sacrifice of his only son. Scripture says that they traveled for 3 days. Can you imagine the precious memories, the precious moments that Abraham enjoyed with his beloved son Isaac, knowing that they would be the last? And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance where he was going to have to sacrifice his son. Can you imagine how sick he felt in his gut to see it? And so, he took the wood for the sacrifice and placed it on the shoulders of his beloved son, while he took the fire and the knife. And the long walk up the mountain began, with his son's trusting questions, and Abraham responding tenderly with that poignant term of endearment, "My son." "Father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" "My son, my son." "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." In his answer to his son's question, Abraham had no idea what he was saying. But it reflected the faith that he clung to despite all reasonable expectation, even as he saw all of his hopes being dashed. But God did provide. God did provide. And through his son Isaac, something new was born, and hope and promise were restored. Some of the disciples were there that day at the River Jordan when a voice from heaven said of Jesus, "This is my beloved son." And the disciples really had hope that God's beloved son was their Savior and Messiah. And now that he was there with them, everything would be okay. But then those awful and horrible things happened, which we commemorated yesterday on Good Friday. There was that long journey up the mountain of Calvary, where some of his disciples saw Jesus' beaten, bloodied, and weak body carrying the wood for his sacrifice on his shoulders. And can you imagine how sick some of his disciples felt in their gut when they could look up and see Jesus crucified in the distance on Golgotha? And then there was those 3 days, that sorrowful journey of 3 days for all of them, realizing that all their hopes had been dashed. But then, on the first day of a new week, when the sun was rising, some of his disciples went to anoint the dead, mangled body of a crucified man. And beyond all reasonable expectation, God did it again. God provided for the hopes that he had placed in their hearts. God provided for the promises that his only son had made. Yes, hope is born again. God is faithful. And that is why we celebrate tonight with candlelight and with a huge fire that rages against the night. Jesus really died, but he is not in a tomb. But rather he is there in the Galilee of our ordinary lives, our beloved companion, and he will never die again. And so no matter how dark our night of faith may be, God will provide. Hope will be restored. God will keep his promises in ways that we cannot even conceive of in our dark night. Yes, God is faithful no matter how dark it is out there right now. And that is why we raise those candles high. There will always be a rising sun. There will always be the first day of a week. There will always be a young man at the tomb to replace the old man that dies with Christ in baptism. There will always be spring. And this is the victory that we celebrate at Easter. It is the victory of life. It is the victory of light. It is the victory of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Alleluia.